Paul, we're going to talk about ESG investing. And for those in our audience who may not have heard the term, which is likely most folks, tell us what ESG investing is.
It's basically the theory that you should use environmental, social, and governance factors, all of which are non-financial in nature, and use them to drive both corporate policy as well as an investment policy, as opposed to using objective financial metrics like we've used in the markets up until now. And ESG is predicated on the theory of stakeholder capitalism, which is the view that companies should be managed not just for their shareholders and bondholders and their employees, but for the good of society, for people and planet, as the World Economic Forum likes to say. So clearly that's not capitalism, unless it's the end stage of capitalism, but it's more like socialism. And ESG, we should acknowledge up front, is basically the government working through pressure groups to direct the private sector and financial markets to achieve its aims, primarily climate change. And if there's one takeaway for readers from the book, it should be that ESG, the main focus, needs to be on climate change and the attack on the oil and gas industry, because that is the priority.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. But before we do, when you take a look at ESG investing, what impact is that currently having on Wall Street and on capitalism itself?
It's been spreading for the last, I would say, decade plus. Really, since the global financial crisis, it's made inroads on Wall Street, and it's been pushed by the United Nations through an investor group that they formed back in 2006 called the Principles for Responsible Investment. And so you need to look at ESG investing as the third leg of the stool that the United Nations is pushing: climate change, sustainable development, and now ESG investing provides the funding mechanism for the other two initiatives. And it's really been over the last decade that you see it's integrated into basically all of the assets under management in Wall Street and really every firm. And the way it works, it's a coercive process. If you step out of line, if you criticize it, whether you're an investor or a company, then you become the target. So most people are going along with this, not because they believe in it, like, say, a Larry Fink at BlackRock or a Brian Monahan at Bank of America. There are many more out there running companies and working for them that are afraid to speak out because it's a very coercive process. The analogy I use, it's like a natural gas pipeline. The only way a natural gas pipeline works and moves gas from point A to point B is if you keep the entire system under pressure with compression. It works the same way with ESG.
Many Americans, in fact, probably most Americans now here, Paul, have individual retirement accounts, IRAs, rather than pensions. And government agencies, where there's still a lot of pensions in the public sector pension systems are investing billions and billions of dollars. If the emphasis is on social goals rather than actually making money, what impact is this going to have on retirement, both for those who have pensions and those who have IRAs?
You're going to be leaving a lot of performance on the table. I mean, depending on who's managing your money, is your pension located in a blue state versus a red state? And again, almost every investor on Wall Street is a member of this UN group, and that membership has a number of requirements, but it varies in terms of how those are being implemented. But it's already taking place right now. You've got a number of fossil fuel bans on the investment side as well as the banking side. So, you know, you're probably already missing out on good performance. I mean, case in point, in 21 and 22, the energy sector, both debt and equity, significantly outperformed the overall market. Because it is a commodity and it is cyclical, at points in time, if you're not allowed to invest in fossil fuels for moral reasons, you're going to be missing out on that performance. So it's probably already impacting you if ESG is being integrated into the capital that you've already provided to your advisor. And that's the big problem with ESG. It's occurring through the back door. Nobody agreed to this, and it's being integrated into funds that were raised years ago under a different mandate. So it's a big fiduciary problem.
Let's talk a little bit more about the energy sector in particular here, Paul. It seems like the environmental left really does focus on fossil fuels, on the oil companies, the gas companies, energy companies. ESG investing, is it having an impact on the ability of energy companies to have the funds they need to go out and do the type of exploration that they need in order to continue to provide us with the energy we need?
Yeah, it definitely will, and it's going to ratchet up going forward. You're seeing bank lending bans already, primarily in Europe, and we just had Barclays a couple of weeks ago announce that they effectively were backing away from oil and gas lending. So it's already constraining capital that's being provided to the industry, and by definition, that's going to lead to less production, less supply, and that's going to lead to an increase in prices. And that's going to impact every American consumer, whether you're invested in the market or not. So it's already constraining capital. I think between now and 2030, and 2030 is an important timeline date for the United Nations for all three of these programs, climate change, sustainability, and ESG. So it's going to ratchet up from here to 2030. I don't like making long-term forecasts. I never did when I was a sell-side analyst, but I'll go out on a limb here, and I think sometime between now and probably the end of 2025, there is the declaration of a global climate emergency, and then the regulatory push will get much more aggressive.
You are arguing in your book, The Race to Zero, that, and here's a quote, ESG investing has kicked off a race to the bottom for Wall Street and a downward market spiral that will eventually crater the global financial system. How's it going to manage to do that?
If you look, again, and you take climate change as the primary goal of ESG, defunding oil and gas, you know, forcing this transition away from fossil fuels, that scenario is going to be negative for the financial markets. And it's very amazing to me that no one on the other side advocating for ESG ever explains why this net zero and transition away from fossil fuels is going to be a positive read-through for the financial markets. We know right now that we can't complete this transition away from fossil fuels to something else because there's nothing to replace it. I mean, energy and refined products are used to make plastics, countless materials, and they also are used for transportation. And they're also driving all of our energy needs, including on the electricity side. This attempt to try and electrify the entire economy and run on intermittent solar and wind power, we know how that ends. We're getting a glimpse of that over in Europe and in parts of the U.S. right now because we're having grids go down. Texas 3 years ago showed us that if you place too much reliance on intermittent solar and wind and you don't have backup dispatchable power, when weather turns against you, particularly in the winter, you know that's going to lead to power outages and people will die. So we're going to be having problems that we haven't really experienced for 100 years. So that's the scenario that I think is negative for the financial markets. Moving away from fossil fuels means there's going to be less economic growth, lower living standards, increased poverty, higher mortality rates. And no one has ever explained why that macroeconomic picture is going to be good for financial asset prices.
We have been talking with Paul H. Tice. He is author of The Race to Zero: How ESG Investing Will Crater the Global Financial System. Paul, all of this is very interesting. If folks are interested in purchasing a copy of The Race to Zero, where can they find the book?
You can get it either at the Encounter Books website or any major book retailer, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
The Race to Zero: How ESG Investing Will Crater the Global Financial System. Paul H. Tice, the author. Paul, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thanks, Loman. I appreciate it.